Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Happy Easter! I hope you're having a lovely day so far. This week's podcast is brought to you, as always, by the lovely Golding Accountancy. If you need an accountant, then wearegolding.com are your people. They're really nice and they're really good. So, choose them. This week, this is literally the 15th time I've recorded this intro and outro. We did this podcast Friday night. It's now Saturday night at 10 o'clock. I spoke to the lovely B. Dolan, who's over in Rhode Island. He's a rapper, activist, all-round amazing person. And he's now doing gigs on Minecraft for like concerts, like festival concerts. It's just amazing. And he's got one this coming weekend, so we wanted to get this out. So if you want to go to the concert, you can. But we talk about that in the podcast, and I'll post all the links for everything of how you can go if you want to. It's all free, and then you can donate what you can give. So basically it's aimed at everyone can go, and then if you've got a bit of money, then you can show the love. And we did the podcast, and then we said bye, and then we carried on talking for like half an hour, and I was recording it on Zoom as a backup, so I've actually used that, some of that in the podcast, because we had a good conversation about politics and healthcare and all that shiz. So I thought, you know what, actually I'm going to leave it in. And I asked him, and he was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to try and do his accent because I can't. And also there's a secret bit where our connection got lost. And he carried on recording, and I've left that in as well because it really made me laugh. So I hope you appreciate these added extras. If you don't, I apologise. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, there's a year's worth of episodes you can go back and enjoy. So check them out. I think that's it. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Work. Work.
I will tweet one more thing about Bandcamp Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Friday, isn't it? It's bank holiday here, so I get confused with days. That's just pretty much every day, though.
Yeah, it's all one day now. Do my thing correctly. Get out of album dropping mode. All right, we're good. Twitter's good. They can marinate on that. Get my thingy right here. All right, we're good.
Are you recording?
Yes. What's up?
Right. Hi, B. Dolan.
Hey, you got a podcast now?
Yeah, I know. I've been doing it for like a year. Do you know what? On my Facebook memories today, it was 3 years ago today that I saw you.
Damn.
Was it Palo Alto?
The tiny place?
Is that where we met? With the vegan, we had the vegan burger, didn't we?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
First time. Shit. Man, it's all one tour those years.
I think you were playing in San Francisco and you came to Palo Alto.
When you saw me out there. Oh, okay.
Yeah. When was the last time you were here?
The Epic Beardman Tour. That was 2018, maybe.
Okay. God, that's been a really long time then.
Yeah, I wasn't out there last summer, right? No, yeah, last I was locked. Year, no right, right. Oh, yeah, that's right. What was I doing? What was I just doing? Yeah.
But that's right. Really weird, so because 2020, you think, oh, yeah, no, I've not done that for like a year. But then you think, no, it's been 2 years, because last year just didn't exist.
Yeah, right. It was one long day.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So.
Well, shit.
So, you've come on to talk about Minecraft. Oh
no! I mean, we don't have to talk about Minecraft the whole time.
No, we have to talk about Minecraft, and it's just because Lola.
Yeah.
Like now she plays with people, so it's brilliant. But when she first got it, she was like, "Mum, look at this, whatever I've created," and I honestly couldn't be less interested.
Yeah.
But when I saw all the stuff that you were doing, I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I can get into that," because obviously it's music.
Yeah, it's a strange one, and it's like a big disconnect with people in our generation and the kids. They're like, I've had to explain that to a bunch of people that like video games are way different now. First, I had to figure it out myself, and I had the same experience when my little nephew was playing with it originally. He was doing like this single player thing, and he was just like, "Oh, look, I killed this cow and it became leather, and now I can." And I'm like, "Ah, weird. Okay, so you just kill animals now? Cool. So video games seem like they come a long way, but they actually have." And as I played it, I'm still streaming. I got bit by the bug like in the pandemic because he's an only child. He was by himself. I canceled my world tour dates. That's why I was supposed to be in England. Like I was about to actually kick off a big, long, extensive tour with a Manchester show, and that was coming. I feel like that was at March 31st, and at the beginning of March was when I canceled everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Manchester was the first call, and there was a whole UK tour that was booking up, and so yeah, I was due to be back out there last summer, and so I was home like trying to figure out what I was doing, and he was home bored, and so I was like, and I realized that we could play Minecraft virtually together on this multiplayer server thing that they have. So that's how we started. Like I got like a basic little headset. And would just kick it with him when he was like bored out of his mind and driving his mother crazy. Like we would just, and I would be like, "All right, so what are we doing here? We punch trees." And then he plays in this really like all over the place kind of way where he just like uses the game for whatever he feels like doing. So we would do a lot of like PvP, as they call it, a lot of player versus player. Oh, the cat's here. Good. Yeah. She knows. She knows whenever podcasts are being recorded, makes her way in. It's awesome. and she's very vocal because she's old.
Oh, hi.
Hey, yeah, that's Ella. She'll be popping in for guest drops. She's my DJ. But yeah, so we started playing Minecraft, and he showed me he likes to like make forts, and then you'd come and try and raid my fort. I'd come and try and raid your fort, and it's like, cool.
Yeah.
And then. But in the course of it, you know, I'm just understanding, like, okay, so we can use these blocks to build anything. And I'm immediately bored of building forts. So now I'm, like, just building weird buildings and looking at all these blocks. And eventually, I guess I just started making a music venue, probably because I was, about live music and how much I missed it. And we would just goof around in there and talk about touring and stuff and just have conversations while we played. And then at a certain point, I made a drum machine. That was where because he really wanted me to make him an elevator. So I had to I had to start Googling these YouTube videos. I would go to Google, I would Google YouTube, I would go to YouTube, and then I would put how to make an elevator in Minecraft. And this is what I was up late doing. But there's this thing called redstone in the game that's basically an electrical circuit. So you you're programming it with repeaters and signals and stuff that cut each other off. And I found a tutorial on how to make a drum machine, and I made a drum machine. And right around then is the point where he's going to bed and I'm just playing Minecraft for 3 more hours. I just got into the shit. And it became a good anti-anxiety pandemic lock-in thing. So I built a music venue, and at the same time I'm on Twitch once a week now, trying to figure out how to perform in a virtual space with an audience. And I'm just talking about what's going on with me and how much Minecraft I'm playing, and how it started as a joke, just that we could have a show in Minecraft with my Patreon subscribers. All 10 of you join this server, and we can, and then as the idea kind of snowballed and the Patreon thing kind of took off, it became a goal that the community was trying to hit. And then other artists started jumping on, Kimia Dawson and Mega Ren, and some serious acts started coming together. And I was oh shit, I think we're about to really throw a show in Minecraft. And that's when I reached out to Pip and asked him to host, and we had a real lineup and figured out how to monetize it with, man, it turned out we were able to sell in-game merch that you could buy inside the game and put band t-shirts on your little character, and then physical merch, and then just tips on the stream. We were able to raise 6 G's and pay all these artists out for a great show.
Amazing.
Yeah, more than guaranteed. And it was
so important as well, because everyone was really suffering, weren't they? People that were live, they were completely cut, weren't they, off with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that you created a brand new revenue stream.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
and
isn't it?
I'm not the first to ever do it. As I started talking about the idea, I became aware of a couple other companies that were doing something like this. There's a concert company called Open Pit that had done a couple events, and I halfway through I kind of went to one of those with my nephew, and I was amazed at how much being at a show it was. It's really oddly being in a show, because you're all these little avatars moving around have names over their head and are connected to people. And so me and my nephew are on a call, and you're listening to the music through Twitch, but you're in the game all with each other and with everyone else on the server. People are jumping around, dancing, and you're inhabiting this physical space. So it would be at a show where I would lose my nephew and be where are you? He'd be I'm at the bar. I'm at the bar on the left side of the stage. And I'm going to find my nephew, my 9-year-old nephew. And and I was this really feels like being at a show. And
yeah.
And that's been the feedback with everyone, artists and performers. On the artist side, it's been a little bit of a weird arm twisty kind of I'm going to do what? And it's dope that they're giving us sets for the broadcast, but at the same, so it feels a little extra to ask them oh, and by the way, you should download Minecraft, make it a Minecraft account, pick out a skin, log into Minecraft at this time. but when they do, they're holy shit, that felt so good. It felt like I was at a show. It felt like I was, that's what everyone keeps saying. So we leaned into it now, and we started doing more and more of these shows, and I'm promoting shows in Minecraft these days. That's what's going on.
if anyone had said that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What? So you just did one at Brown's University.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I got hired
How was that?
Yeah, I got hired by Brown, which is dope. I got contracted to produce 2 shows, and it paid for me to build this super streaming computer. So now I can stream at the level of a rich 15-year-old.
So you made a computer?
Yeah, yeah, we built a computer. Me and my wife, Desiree.
How do you go about doing that?
Piece by piece.
For me, that's like I couldn't even begin to get my head around. Do you just get the bits off eBay and put it together?
Yeah, there were real moments of terror, for sure. But
is
it was
massive. Like yeah, in the
it's
80s?
Pretty big. Yeah, it's pretty big. It's got LEDs inside. I mean, I splurged. But yeah,
wow.
I mean, yeah.
What
it's,
a thing to say you've done though. That's amazing.
Yeah,
made a computer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kids are doing it these days. Like going into the Twitch world, like my blueprint for what I have been doing for the past decade was an older version of DIY touring, get in the van type shit. So like I really, the pandemic caused me to like stop, have all that cut off as a possibility and go investigate all this like computer based stuff that I had been hearing about and like thinking like, oh yeah, 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 that's important. I should get to that. I should start a Patreon. Yeah, yeah, I should do something on Twitch. Like, and
Twitch
I'm late.
Is for what? I thought Twitch was like a gaming thing where people watch people play games. But is there a different things on there as well? Then
it's a streaming platform. So yeah, it's there's a lot of gamers, but there's a ton of music content, especially since the pandemic. Like
okay,
Twitch is where I go to see DJs that I like now. Like,
okay,
yeah, there's a lot of great DJ channels on Twitch.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it's they, I think, started the whole streaming culture thing. And then YouTube kind of quickly piggybacked on. So YouTube and Twitch are where streamers live. And as a musician, it's like a different mode, even from podcasts and other stuff we're used to, where it's like we're very used to creating content with a purpose. Whereas streaming is sort of just like a casual hangout with activity, with group shared activity, kind of.
Yeah,
so it's less like about what's, you know, it's a longer thing. Like people don't even pop into like 45 minutes in. It's like it's a hangout, it's a virtual hangout.
Yeah
Well, that you nice. Yeah, that you base around either games or music or both or some
so
combination.
So people have to pay to come to the thing, or do you have to pay to be a member? I don't know how it works.
Well, the next one we're doing is a benefit for the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers, and it's going to be like 20 bands over the course of 2 days, and it'll be free to watch. Yeah, free to watch, free to listen to. You don't need Minecraft to attend either. So yeah, I've also now that I got this giant powerful computer and a team of Minecraft architects, like no lie, like I've really learned to like build these show venues, because the other cool thing that we get to like offer to bands is you can play any stage, like anything. You tell us where your ideal performance happens and we'll build it for you. So Wheelchair Sports Camp, they performed in front of a burning police precinct and people were just like dancing on top of flaming police cars. and like Kimya Dawson performed in this like lush jungle environment in front of a giant flower. Eli performed in the moon. Like everybody just, you know, or people would give us these abstract patterns that we would turn into stages. So the last show we did for Brown, it started in an underwater dome. And then people took like this rainbow elevator up to a floating island for the second act. And then another rainbow elevator up to the third act, which was in a sky island rainbow stage.
Wow.
And then so it's a and I've realized now like that what we're basically doing is like making a concert film, especially for the people who like aren't in Minecraft. What you see on the stream is my perspective as I kind of like fly around and videotape people and what's happening and the artists on stage and stuff.
And
you see what, man, people's show behavior too. Like there were mosh pits. People can really dance. Like they figure out ways to make their little avatars dance and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really some really neat footage that we've made. And yeah, you can watch it. It's video on demand on my YouTube and Twitch channels, so you can see what it looks like. And then so it streams during the event, And that's where you hear the music and you see one view and you can leave a tip on the stream. And that's, so we raise the majority of our money through the tips on the stream, through either YouTube or Twitch. And then if you have the game, then there's a multiplayer server that you can join and you'll be in there. And then you just leave the music on and you have like your perspective as you run around and do shit.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a good time.
What's the benefit for?
The Union of Musicians and Allied Workers. So they're a union of musicians that is formed during the pandemic by some folks we know. That have like strong union backgrounds. It's Joey from the Downtown Boys, who was previously with the Wet Cheer Brigade, which is the marching band we brought to England years ago. So they've been down with the union forever. We know them. They're from Providence, and Joey is my direct connect into the union. But I started hearing about the work they were doing and that they were fighting Spotify for equal pay for musicians. And when I looked into it, it was just like, it was exactly what's needed at the moment in the music industry. So, you know, union musicians, gig workers, allied workers who are looking out for like safer venues, better practices within the music industry, top to bottom on all issues, from like Spotify paying better rates to clubs not calling the police and training their staff de-escalation and making people safe. All the stuff that, like, you know, when the music industry shut down, it was a lot of time to like contemplate everything that had gone on up to this point. And the Minecraft thing is sort of that too. It's like okay, everything stopped. So like, what would the ideal situation be where, you know, everyone at these Minecraft shows is safe in their body, you know, while attending. So like, how do we get there? And even the lineups, we've gone to like great lengths to like diversify and equal out and balance out the lineups. Like, it's not all white cis hetero dudes at our shows. Yeah. Like, we're so, you know, like, it's kind of fun to create like what the scene could be in an ideal space. Yeah. And then, yeah, we'll see what it is when it returns. Yeah, but
when it comes back.
But yeah, so the union is in line with that. So
they were wicked.
Yeah, lined up.
So for people that don't know who you are, B. Dolan.
I'm one of them.
You
I'm
are
one of those people.
Yeah. You are a international rap star.
Okay.
How did you start out? You've always done music, haven't you? But did you start off as a poet? I forget. I don't know, that's really bad because I've known you far too long.
No, I mean, yeah. It's like people became aware of me as a poet. My first major release was in 2008 on Strange Famous Records, and it was a super experimental spoken word hip-hop record that a lot of people didn't catch or didn't so like the people who love it really love it, and I the more I think about it, the more I think like that's where I might even be headed next, like back towards stuff that.
Because you came, I'm sure I have told you this, but you came to a club night that I was working at. You came to Plastic People.
Okay,
in Shoreditch, like a million years ago. And I remember, because I'm sure that Dave Pitt must have sorted it out, or he must have said that you were coming. That was the first time I ever met you, but it was kind of out of the context of how we know each other. Do you know what I mean?
Word. Yeah. That was a dope night. That was just like a pitch black club, right?
It's one of my favourite places in the whole wide world. And it is still there, but I think it's like a cocktail bar now. But it was just the darkest, smallest, loudest club. It was just perfect.
Yeah, that show was dope. Yeah. I got a lot of inspiration that night. I actually like have a couple of recordings I made on my phone that night of stuff that just like cool drum patterns or stuff that I heard and wanted to remember somewhere in these archives.
So when did you start doing music? Have you always written from when you were a young American?
Maybe. My mom taught piano lessons as her like third job when we were growing up. And so there was like always a piano in the house, and she would try to give me lessons, but you can't like sit with your mom at a piano and have her correct you. Like, but when no one was home, I would definitely like sit at the piano and mess around with it. And so that in that way, I guess I always was kind of like untrained and noodling. And then my dad had a drum set and I would mess around with that again, like got like three lessons and then was just like unteachable, untrainable. But music was always around, even when I didn't want it to be. Like we had very thin walls, and I would hear all my mom's piano lessons in the next room, like all these kids fucking up all night long. And then I would just kind of stay in my room and listen to music and read books. So at a certain point, I started writing a bunch of stuff. I would write like poems and stories and raps. And specifically, like there was a record by Scarface called The Diary that I heard when I was 12. And it reached all the dark, angry parts of my heart, even though it was like I had no shared experience with Scarface at that point in 1992 as a 12-year-old. But it made me want to write, and I started like writing more stuff, not even exactly like that record, but some of it was. But it was just like all this really dark stuff I started writing as a teenager. And then eventually I moved to New York, where all my favorite rappers came from. Hip-hop, I would find like it wasn't everywhere at that time when I was growing up. Yeah. So it was certain releases. It was like The Diary. It was Method Man's first album. It was Biggie's first album. And then I started, as I got older, I started to find like DJ Clue tapes, because we're about 3.5 hours north of New York and an hour south of Boston, where I grew up. So low on the dial on the radio station, you could find some hip hop. And you just get like really cling to what you have. And then when I turned 18, I moved to New York to just go find hip hop or something. And so I started performing at the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, and I walked in there just like on a Wednesday during an open mic, and it was a poetry slam. So I got up and performed there for the first time, and I was kind of immediately successful. So I sort of just got carried up in that for a minute. Like people came to know me first as a poet, and a lot of people saw me on stage for the first time as a poet. So I got that reputation. So when I released my first proper rap release was in 2010. People had already like one idea of me, and then the rap stuff sort of started to pick up its own momentum, and that's when I started touring with Dan and Pip and met them and came out there for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's complicated. I wouldn't expect you to know all that. It's deep. That's deep dive stuff. Who cares?
But you don't just write music, do you? You've written a very successful movie.
Yeah, I wrote a movie.
Yeah.
I wrote a couple movies.
Which I have seen. Vault. Yeah. Is it on Amazon or Netflix?
I don't know out there. Yeah.
You don't know.
I'd bet on Amazon. I bet you Amazon's got it.
It is out, but that's amazing. Did you get approached to do that, or did you write it?
I got approached. And then... Yeah, So I've been doing like script doctor stuff since 2000. I mean, this is why, like, when I mentioned doing experimental weird poetry stuff for 2 years before, like, it's because I was also taking these gigs where I was getting paid to like help write horror movies and like low budget horror movies that never got made. I would take like pretty much any moderately worthwhile writing gig at that time. And so it led me into all types of writing through the years. And I mean, that's even before then. It was just, if you wanted me to write something, I would do that. I just like was hustling, dropped out of school, and it was like, I'll write, what do you want? You want a bio for your band? You want an article? You want, and so that was how I originally like met the people involved, though it was years later when they kind of came back to me and were like, are you still writing scripts? And I was like, yeah, hypothetically, I'm still writing anything. And and at that point, I don't even remember when we started writing Vault, but so many things had not turned into movies that I'm always just of the attitude of like, yeah. Like I'm kind of just like mercenary come through, like, So I'm always like, oh shit, that got made into a movie. You know, like that was my first film was like that. I was like, oh really? Oh, you kidding? And then the Vault was the follow-up to that. So our first movie was like a low budget horror film called Almost Mercy that I did with the same director and production company out of Rhode Island. And basically that one like did well for the horror genre. That one was super low budget. I soundtracked that one too. I didn't make original music for it, but I basically like, we made the soundtrack by me reaching out to my friends and being like, hey, care if I use your music in a movie? Like there's, that movie has like Meter Maid songs in it and a Baka Radu song in it. It's like, but so that was basically like the trial run. And I've come to learn that like horror is often that. It's like a trial run, you know, like, can you make a movie? And so, that one was pretty well received within the horror market. They were like, whoa, this movie kind of so like surprisingly isn't just a mess, you know? And so like that was when they gave us the offer to write a movie about the Bonded Vault Heist. The Bonded Vault Heist, which is a real life robbery that took place in Providence in the 70s.
Yeah.
When $32 million was stolen from the mob. This one had like a real budget and a cast and everything. And
did you know about the story previous to being asked to write about it?
I did.
Is it like a legend of the area? Does everyone know about it?
It's a legend of the area. I had also heard some things through members of the family.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rhode Island is a very small state where we live. And so, I had heard that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sorry.
I was going to say, have you written more films yet? Because I'm sure when I spoke to you last time, you were writing another script.
Yeah, that one got sidelined due to the pandemic. It's sort of in limbo. Like, we'll see. That was another thing that happened was a lot of styles of production just kind of were like, well, and remain shut down. But at that said, like I continue to like think about ideas, and it's sort of the movie thing, like now realizing I've learned a lot through the process. Like at first, like I said, I was really treating it as a kind of side hustle thing. But the vault movie in particular, writing it and scoring it and watching the process start to finish and all the kind of different factors that influence an idea, like or an idea will have to cross and contend with from conception to like being made into a thing. It's hard to really understand that until you're like in it and seeing like, oh okay, that's what happens. Oh okay, this, you know. So that said, like it was inspiring at the end of the day. Like it was just like I wasn't expecting 5 years to just vanish like into this project. Like, but that's what happens. Like from the time you start writing it, revisions, come back with notes, you know, like, and then all the, you know, there's just like hundreds and hundreds of collaborators. It's so much bigger than a record, like one of my records for sure. So understanding how my ideas about a scene translate into practical realities about costumes, actors, production, shooting, all, you know, like, it's just things that you don't like, water in a scene. No. Like, you know, don't write anything with water in it. Like, you know, like outside versus inside, like the practicalities of filmmaking, you know, like where the rubber hits the road with your ideas. It's interesting. Like it's, you know, it's like as a writer, it's an interesting challenge that having gone through the process now, it's like, oh, okay, if I did this again, I would approach this like this. And so I'm in between things and kind of considering a couple different ways of going next and things that I could write. But there's also that consideration of like, okay, if this is going to be the next 5 years, how are you going to make sure this is the dopest thing you could be doing for the next five years?
Yeah. It's a big commitment.
Yeah.
But then, Also, you've had some pretty life-changing things happen to you, haven't you?
Yeah.
Not just COVID.
Not just.
So, what happened last year?
Well, what happened last year? Well, the pandemic happened, and I had to cancel all the world tour dates. And, I mean, I'm trying to think of the shortest way to catch you up on my medical history. I've had back issues while touring and performing for a long time, since, it's hard to even say, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, prior to the pandemic even. I had been like just aware of like, or I had a tour where I had to lay down in the back seat on a van because it became like painful to like just be sitting up in a van seat. And I was like, oh,
where
that's
was
weird.
The pain? In the lower or upper, or just the whole back?
I would have various issues, but usually in the like upper around my shoulders and neck, and then sometimes lower back stuff with hips and all that, and like just achy stuff, you know. And you just like at a certain age, you're just like, ah, that's how getting old feels. That just like that's just your shitty body, you know. and I mean, I smoke weed, Amy. I don't know if you know this about me.
We're
deep in the podcast. The kids have gone to bed. So I think that in some way though, I was maybe like self-medicating some stuff with that.
Yes,
like and because for me, it was not like a debilitating thing or a chill out thing. It was a like get work done. Like I would smoke a joint, like a cigarette, and then just go like load an entire venue full of merch or unload it after a show where driving for 12 hours. So like we were doing a very physically intensive form of touring for a decade and, or more. And, and so, at a certain point, like I would notice certain stuff like muscles spasming or like certain things just kind of cramping up on me at a certain point I got curious about it. At a certain point I lost 100 pounds just trying to like get more healthy, because I was generally aware, you know, like, you know, when you're being gross to your body, you know, you're just not caring about yourself. And at a certain point I was like, look, man, like your back's all messed up. Like if you want to continue doing this, you got to like act like an athlete a little bit. This is not just going to forever be natural. You're going to have to learn to stretch and do all in, you know. So I did that for a good period of time. Like I was making positive health moves. I lost 100 pounds. I went to physical therapy for like the burning sensation, and it kind of straightened me out and I felt better. And I was actually like even going to the gym a little bit, trying to like strengthen and do some push-ups for the first time. And then we went on the first leg of the Epic Beard Men US tour, and I noticed my three fingers and my left hand had gone numb on the wheel. And and I thought like, oh, I hope that's not a stroke. And then, like it wasn't a stroke. So I was like, oh, that's it. It's just a new shitty part of your body now. Like, but I addressed it. I went back to physical therapy. They told me they thought it was a nerve problem, an entrapped ulnar nerve, which is a common thing. And I was in physical therapy for about 8 months working on that with little relief. But they were like, well, you know, nerve stuff can take a long time. Yeah. And the pandemic hit. I stopped going to physical therapy. I started feeling kind of crappier and crappier. And I was distance learning my nephew, who's 9, every day. So I was like up and sitting at a computer. And at a certain point, I was like, man, and my wife had been telling me for a long time, actually, to get an MRI, and insisting like, you should get an MRI. You should have someone look at your spine. And I did finally. And when they looked at it, they were like, oh, you know. And I was expecting like way less intense news. I got like a phone call that was really scary. That was basically saying that my spinal cord had been compressed badly for at least the last 3 to 5 years. And, and that I needed emergency surgery, and was in at like high risk of becoming paralyzed from the neck down. Like I had probably been one car crash away for the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. What caused it? Do they know what caused it, or is it just?
They're pretty sure it's like congenital, But at the same time, I don't think a lot of people live like I had been living. And I, as I like talk about this more, I've found out that like a lot of the metal guys have fused spines. A lot of the Metallica cats.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, from like years of like headbanging and being on the road. Yeah. And maybe just a big guy thing too. Like I'm a big giant dude. So yeah, I don't know. But they say, you know, it was nothing specific, but yeah, they were asking me all types of scary stuff like, can you feel your legs? Can you walk upstairs? Because they said like most people that have MRIs that look like this can't walk upstairs.
By That's the time. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's amazing that you didn't even know. Something was wrong.
Yeah. Well, I was terrifying when I thought of like what I had been doing like the day, you know, the day before and how I had been treating myself and things. Because, yeah, I was just like kind of brought up in one of those like working class families that's just like smoke a cigarette, drink a six pack and go move that fucking tree from over there to over there. Like, I, you know, had to start from the beginning with, and I'm still, at a pretty basic
stage.
Just
get on with it, don't you? Just get on with it. Come on.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you first started feeling the pains, it was just like, oh, it's just me getting old. You wouldn't think, oh, maybe something's wrong.
Yeah. 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 And you know, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And capitalism. Like, I blame
capitalism. Movement.
You know, hustle. Yeah. You know, I was out there hustling, Amy. I was like, you know, and
it's hard as well. Like people think, oh, you're a signed musician, but they don't understand about the touring. It's like you're driving yourself. You're not sleeping, or you're sleeping in shitty hotels because obviously you're paying for everything yourself. You're lugging all of your merchandise around, which is was CDs. At least it wasn't vinyls, but mind you, you probably did have some vinyls.
No, yeah. No, actually, I blame the UK because I'll buy so much vinyl that you were forever tempting me to carry more and more vinyl out there and coming up to the merch booth. UK and France, they would like shame you for not having vinyl.
Well, it's like you just shipped it over from America. But yeah, it's hard work. And you and Sage, who is the other half of the Epic Beard Band, you're literally, your whole life is, you're on tour, aren't you? You've been on tour every year for the last however many years. And that's just what it is.
Yeah, that was the cycle of how... Yeah, that was how we continued to fund albums. That was... Yeah. No giant advances from major record labels. It was like, go out there, do a killer tour. You'll make new fans every tour. You know, that was how, that was our replacement for marketing budgets and payola and all that. The internet like dispersed our music to a certain fan base. But then from there, it was like, what other tour can you get on? Who else can you get in front of and impress them on stage? Meet them at the merch booth, sell them a CD, shake their hand, and like if you've sent them home with a good enough record, then they come back next time. So you just keep coming back to their city over and over again. And, you know, they will not download your t-shirts. They'll come to the show. They'll buy the shirt. They'll have a night out.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the scene. Which,
it's
it's work for sure.
Yeah. You needed emergency surgery.
Yeah, so I had that.
So what did they do to you? What did they need to do?
They basically, like, there's the spinal column has bones in the front and bones in the back. My neck was pinched very badly and compressed in the back. So they took out all them bones and replaced it with a big steel rod.
Oh my god!
Yeah, from like the middle of my back to the upper part of my skull. So to turn left and right, I now need to kind of move my upper body. I am fused, as they say. I'm a cyborg now.
Wow!
Yeah, I got screws and pins.
Like Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So will it always be like that then? You'll never be able to turn your neck. You're supposed to move like your body, or will it get easier?
Yeah, my wife calls me Flat Stanley now. Do you have Flat Stanley? Did that book make it over? Yeah. I'm very two-dimensional now. I'm like a Minecraft character. Yeah, full
meta?
Circle.
Is that what that... Yeah. Wow.
I have three movements. I can move my little hand, I can squat, and I can jump. Those are my Minecraft movements. Shift bar, space bar. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm still in physical therapy, basically, seeing like what I can regain. And yeah, I met with a surgeon on Wednesday, actually. He was telling me that it will take up to a year to a year and a half for my nerves to now get back to where they are supposed to be or are going to be.
Right.
So yeah, so it's kind of like an ongoing thing. I'm in physical therapy once a week. There was the 6 weeks after surgery was just intense, like pain management. And I started out on a walker and went to a cane and then was able to like start walking again. And
how long ago was the surgery?
January 18th. So I woke up from surgery and watched Joe Biden get inaugurated.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice. On a potent cocktail.
So it's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
3.5 months.
Yeah.
Well, considering, I mean, you've went through major surgery and you're up chatting and...
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Because didn't they say that you could have been paralyzed from the surgery?
Yes. Yeah, that was also a risk. Like, we talked to two surgeons and the first surgeon had all types of terrible things to say. And he seemed shook. I wasn't feeling it. Yeah. He seemed shook and he had bad ideas. He wanted to go in through the front of my neck, which he said was like less of a painful recovery time, but had the added bonus of possibly changing my voice forever. Because to go in through the front of my neck, they were going to have to move my vocal cords. And
Have you seen Up? Yes.
Did you move it up? Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You know when the dog has the cone on that makes his voice
really
high?
Yeah.
Would it have been like that?
I don't know. I'm lucky not to know. I didn't like that dude.
No, I didn't like, no.
Yeah.
I don't know you. So you went with the other guy. So they went through the back then?
Yes. Yep. Dr. Oyelesi, shout out. He went in through the back. He said, you know,
How long was the surgery?
7.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What they can do.
What he does, like, every day. That was like... The immediate feeling aside, you know, in the aftermath was just like, just kind of shock and gratitude. Like, I mean, having never gone through any surgery to going straight to like the most intense surgery and people that like worked on the ward were like, whoa, that's the biggest incision on a spinal fuse I've ever seen. So like people were having that reaction to me and I was just like, hey, man. I'm grateful for what y'all do. It's January. We're in the middle of a COVID spike. I'm alone in the hospital. You know, so no one could visit or anything.
Oh, of course.
I was in there for 5 or 6 days. And then, yeah, even coming home was a real intense process of figuring out where the meds needed to be in order to cover the intense, like, pain. There's a lot of, like, nerve pain, muscle spasms, crazy shit going on.
Was it just everywhere? Was it your whole body hurt?
Definitely my entire upper body. And
yeah.
I now know why that is. They like mention a baby being swaddled. And if you were to unswaddle the baby and it would reach out and stretch out, that's when we uncompress the spine. Like all the nerves are now just trying to go back to or be in new places.
Yeah.
So not on nerve pain medication, which I now know I really needed to be. I was just feeling everything and like your nerves tell your muscles to spasm or to, you know, contract and relax. So they would send the signal to spasm and then never send the signal to relax. So just all the muscles in my upper body were spasming. Oh, and I had these crazy, crazy like knots and yeah, it was insane. And didn't know what to do. I was just like putting ice on it and until I reached the ultimate point of pain and my wife called the doctor and was like, something's not right with this. And that's when they put me on gabapentin, which turned out to be the medicine that I needed to be like a human.
Did it make it a lot better?
Yeah.
As soon as you took that, was it okay?
Yeah. Yeah. From there, I was just like sore. But shortly from there, like I got off the walker and was able to like be on a cane for a while and cut back the meds on a pretty good schedule because I wasn't trying to mess with Oxycontin for too long.
Is that the one that they're all getting addicted to?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one.
Good, then.
yeah.
Don't take too much of that.
Yeah, it was important to get off that. and yeah, now I'm just like, I mean, there was a period then where I couldn't raise my left arm above the level of my shoulder, so I couldn't reach for anything. That's taken that's still taking like physical therapy to rehabilitate. But now I can like reach the back of my head and stuff. But I developed like a palsy in my left hand for a while. They were like, that'll go away. That's cool.
Yeah. I would imagine you must be a very strong person to have not known that you had those problems. Like your body, you must be physically like naturally just quite strong and quite robust, I guess.
Yeah.
So I would hopefully, touch wood, that means you will kind of recover.
Hopefully, yeah. Touch wood.
Everything crossed.
Thanks. Yeah, they said I was maximally compensating. They were like, we don't know how you're walking, but we think your body is maximally compensating. I'm like, I'm glad.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Just like the
and
spot.
You're young as well. Like if you were 20 years older, it'd be a bit worse, right? Wouldn't it? But you're still young.
Yeah. We caught the problem. We're on top of it. We're doing some more like tests and stuff, and we're trying to get my spine to do its part of the group project.
Yeah. So it's great, really, all the Minecraft stuff, isn't it? Because you can do that in one place, and you haven't got to lug loads of stuff around the world.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah, I mean, even with the pandemic, has put. I kind of don't envy musicians who are considering like when to return to the road right now, because short of this spine surgery, I might be like, oh God, you know, I don't want my show to be the first show.
Yeah.
But I do want to tour again. But this has just taken it totally off the table for me for at least the next year and a half, and I'm kind of okay with it. I'm like, the pandemic has forced me to discover stuff like Patreon and Twitch. And luckily, like I should have been doing that a long time ago, and it's paying the bills and allowing me to actually keep like releasing things and making things. And the Minecraft shows have been one of those things, but like I just released a movie score, the score for the movie Vault, actually. We just released that today, did it like a limited edition vinyl. So I was able to like manufacture new merch and stuff, which usually that would be super dependent on having a tour to sell it at. But you know, so the money stuff is kind of like sorted for the time being, and we found new streams of income because of the pandemic, so I don't have to say yes to any tour that isn't ideally suited for me, so it might be a while, but it'll be dope.
Has it been quite nice being at home? This must be the longest you've been at home for like
a decade.
Ages.
yeah at least a decade. It's been dope. I mean, this
how's Desiree feeling about having you home?
We get along all right. We know now. We know that there's not, I don't have, I mean, we're listening to a story about the rate of divorces is expected to skyrocket after the pandemic. Once people get the fuck out of their bubble with that, and how many people are just like, oh my, you know, like, why do you do that with sugar packets? Why do you, you know? No, we haven't.
There was a criminal in England who handed himself into the police because he couldn't stand living in the house that he was in. But I don't know if what his situation was in that house. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if he was with his family or just with some other people. But I thought.
Yeah.
That says it all, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. This is a good relationship tester. Because that was always a suspicion. It was like, we get along real well, but also I dip out of here for half the year sometimes. Like, do we really get along that well? Or are we like time sharing this house? As it turns out, like we do still get along. And Yeah, I mean, she arguably like saved all quality of my life with like insisting and staying on top of me that I take care of my body. So I owe her that now. So
yeah, I gotta, you do owe her your life.
Yeah. So I got to keep her happy. But yeah, it's been cool. This also, though, this has been the longest I've ever had to be in America, and that's been way less cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually I do get to dip out on my marriage to America once for a good portion of the year. And
so what's it like growing up? Because I know, so I spoke to my friend who's in Miami the other day, and she was like, the clubs are open, everything, you wouldn't know, you know. And I know that I've got my other friends, her family's in Atlanta. And she said, like, her cousin's getting married next month and they've got 200 people at the wedding. Like, it's completely, like, nothing's going on. Is it like that where you are, or is it a bit more?
It's slightly more restricted because I'm in the Northeast where it's traditionally, like, liberal. But the Northeast is also has a lot of money around and a lot of business interest around. So it's not what would be, like, a real left-wing progressive kind of place like you'd find on the West Coast. It's more like splitting the difference, sort of New York style, between being like socially liberal, but also, you know, we don't really give a fuck about you because we have huge corporate donors. So so things got closed down and people wore masks and observed certain rules to a point. But it was always left just enough to open that, you know, people could be forced into work and, you know, like schools had to stay open as the form of childcare that they could afford. So, you know, we have had thousands of deaths that could have been avoided like everywhere else in America. And yeah, now that the vaccine's around, there does seem to be like a kind of just loosening up of everything. As I was out today and the weather's getting nicer. At this point last year, I guess I came back from Mardi Gras. I got to go to Mardi Gras for the first time ever in New Orleans. And then I came home and immediately everything was shut. And then this, I feel like this was the first time last year where some fools started going out for spring break and it was like,
Mommy, fireworks.
Yeah, there's fireworks going on.
Speaking of spring break.
They must be celebrating because it's Easter.
Popping off.
It's Good Friday. Go on, go away. We were trying to work out, because I don't remember. I went to a conference call and I still don't remember what happened today. So I was like, did he die today and rise on Easter? Did he rise today and do something else on Easter Sunday? Maybe that's when he made the chocolate eggs.
Yeah, that's when he hit the eggs.
He died today, I think. Yep. But then why is it called Good Friday?
Because
good
that he died, so then he became, I don't know.
Go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed yet. No.
I think Kanye named it Good Friday.
Did Kanye?
He started that. It was a hashtag.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, no. I am my computer unplugged. Our connection has been broken. You can't hear this part. I'm turning my computer back on. All right, this is my secret time to review how it's going. I think it's going good. I think we're having fun. I don't know who edits this, but this is bonus content right here. Mom's and Mummer, how's your summer? How's your winter? Master Splinter, Ninja Turtle, Technical Hurdles. No. Amy's gonna, well, I hope she's watching the fireworks during this part. Hope she's peeping out the window. Hope it's not gunshots. It's not gunshots. You're in London, Gabna. Restarted my thing. I kicked my AC supply out. Piece of shit. Take me back, Zoom. I wanna go back. Yo.
Hey.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I kept recording. There's bonus content now on my side. Yeah.
So,
I kicked the plug out of my fucking laptop.
Oh, that's all right.
My battery died instantly. Anyway.
So, next weekend, big Minecraft show. That's the benefit, yeah?
Yeah, April 9th and 10th.
So you don't have to buy tickets?
No.
Or you can't? No, you don't, know.
Totally free. If you want to enjoy it for free or you can't afford to pay, then hopefully the people who are paying, they buy you a ticket, you know?
Yeah.
Virtually, not literally. There's no tickets. Yeah. You just watch it free. If you've got money, splash the pot for the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers. Throw some loot at us. Yeah.
And then is there any plans for any others after that?
Not concrete plans. Talked to a bunch of people. I have a couple ideas in mind. Nothing announced, but a couple seeds of things. I also think I want to try a comedy show in Minecraft. I think that could be funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus there's apps now that where we can get like a small enough audience to where you could hear some laughs. But also there's some comedians that are funnier, I think, if you don't hear laughs. So I'm talking to some comedians about maybe throwing a comedy show in Minecraft too.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have all these tools to do it now. So we have a 24/7 Minecraft server, and I've started to, after a year of playing the game, I started to actually try and play it the right way every once in a while on Twitch. So and people will join in, just join the multiplayer server while I'm playing, to where I tried to start out like punching trees and then turning the sticks into stuff. And it's like a whole other game if you play it that way. I don't know.
I love that my kids like it.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of fun and they play, you know, well, with you and all their other little mates. And it's nice because they're interacting but I'm not.
Yeah, there's no guns. I'm very into the fact that there's no guns.
Yeah.
It's sort of, it's funny. It's like a working model of humanity up to the modern age. Like I feel like on some level maybe kids are into it because they're like, adults have fucked this whole shit up, and pretty soon like we're gonna be back to like real basics. So like, let's learn how to turn shit into other shit. Like, what do I need to make fire again? All right, coal, rock, sticks, word, okay. And like, that's what they're doing now, like on the low. They're just like preparing for us to totally crumble civilization and then they have to start again.
I can't remember what it was, but do you know, did give me some information the other day which I wasn't aware of, that was a really practical thing that everyone should know, that she learned off Minecraft. Said about making something out of something. She was like, oh no, you do this. And I was like, how did you know that?
Yeah,
I was like, Minecraft. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to play it in survival mode now, and people are giving me hints and they're like, you're in the Paleolithic age. And I'm like, oh okay. it's a helpful hint. And like, I've had this dialogue ongoing with my nephew about guns for a while, and like, he's into guns as a 9-year-old boy, and he thinks they're really cool, and I'm trying to like balance that perspective out a bit, and he's always like, well, what about the zombie apocalypse, and what about like, and he's like, what about hunting, like how are you gonna get food if you can't hunt? And Minecraft taught us recently, along with some like anthropology shit I was reading, but that I like hit me to some shit in Minecraft, to where like hunting is actually like not the most productive way for humans to get food. Like, it takes a huge amount of effort to go like stalk an animal, kill it, skin it, bring it back, and pre-refrigeration we couldn't even keep that meat for too long. So like, the thing that allowed civilization to arise was actually farming. And it was the fact that we like learned to domesticate seeds and then domesticate animals to plow the seeds. And then suddenly we could feed everybody. We had more food than we needed. So it was like, oh, well, some of y'all can become blacksmiths and rappers and booking talent managers. And, you know, like, it was farming. It actually wasn't the gun thing at all. Yeah. So Minecraft is teaching the youth.
It is teaching the youth, saving the world.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Simulations inside of simulations.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to tell us all about it.
Thanks for having
me. And I'll post links, obviously, to where you are. B. Dolan.
I'm a big fan. Shout out to Mum and Mummer.
But. I wanted to get the noise, the Tim Westwood noise. You know,
I'll send it to you. I have the.
Thank you.
You want the beep 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 beep?
Yeah.
Mom and mummer.
I can do it. Yeah.
Do you want me to do any drops in that voice? I can do that.
Oh yeah. Send me stuff.
Now, you're listening to mummer. Beep 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 beep.
Wicked. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you. I'll talk to you anyway. But yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Safe.
And there. Word.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
How are you? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Physical therapy and all that is giving me a little more like range. Yeah, I can like turn this. That's about as far left. That's about as far right. I definitely can't like whip my head around anymore.
Yeah.
Whip
your hair.
Yeah, I can't whip my hair back and forth.
Damn it.
Still electric. It's never going to be quite as glitchy. But yeah, it turns out like all those Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer dudes all have that shit from years shit. And
that's not that surprising though, is it? I guess really. When you think about what they put their bodies through, I guess for like a little while it's fine, but like as a career,
well, no one tells you, man. Like no one teaches you this shit. Like as a dude, as a musician, growing up as a boy, it was straight up like hey dummy, carry that shit over there. Like it was, I was big. I was always like big for my age too.
Yeah.
So. And my dad was like laying tile and building buildings and shit. So he was just like make me carry heavy shit all the time.
Yeah.
And like everyone around me was carrying heavy shit. And like they all too like developed back problems, developed like addiction to painkillers and shit like that, like through the years. And like I thought I was ahead of the curve by being like, oh, I'm gonna go to physical therapy. Like that's a new idea for my generation, like to not just like wait till you're fucking in agony and you're 50 and start like getting shit yanked out of you and fucking whatever. Like, so, but it turns out, I don't know.
How lucky though? I mean, I know obviously it's really lucky that it did happen, but how lucky that you didn't know to that extent.
Yeah. I mean, looking back.
And you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess it's best time for it to happen as well, because you've not had to cancel anything, have you?
No. And in fact, I was in the process of like reinventing the whole shit anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what's it going to consist of now? Had to be radically reconsidered anyway. So
yeah.
But it is crazy. It's funny. Like that all my old tour mates are just like Sage, especially, is just like having the same feeling I was having, which is like the last 3 to 5 years flash before your eyes of like, oh my God, I've done so much physically intense shit in the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Like thoughtlessly carried thousands of pounds of shit across airports, trains, boats. And then got up on stage and like smacked each other in the face and fucking, like our whole shit was physical.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the brakes clearly had to be put on that. And I'm not, you know, like, you have the memory of those times, but I'm not like, I am kind of glad that something forced them to be over and now I got to figure out a new thing for like the next part of life.
Sometimes things happen that are, they're really shit, but then it's a bit good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Can I ask what happens with the whole medical insurance stuff then? Like, are you covered for what you've had done?
Yeah. So my wife has, or Desiree has like the grown up job that she works at an office and she keeps like good benefits. But if I didn't have her healthcare, my surgery was like over $100,000.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah. I would have had to like choose between my house
and
like my spine. Absolutely.
Well, for me, it's like, I don't understand that.
Yeah. No, and like, it's a real consideration. Like, I'm not a big fan of, I mean, I'm close to all of the people who are here, and it's the country I was born in and came from. But at the same time, I'm like, yo, like, there's a strong impulse in my head that's like, should we get the fuck out of this country before it like ruins us? You know, like, it's like, I'm like, that's funny that my Italian grandparents came from Italy with that shit, and now I'm in America. Like,
yeah,
do I need to fucking emigrate from this fucking place? Like, it's become that type of question. Between,
do you think it could ever change, or do you think fundamentally it can't because it was built on?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it is demographically changing, but there's also this like frantic last clutches of white supremacy going on, where they're like clinging to all the Jim Crow ass shit and guns, and it's all like this thin veneer of a Republican Party, which like has its like voting suppression shit that they try and do. And so if they, I don't know, it that's the thing, like it sort of has to stay bloody in order for the same people to be in power.
Yeah.
And like, that's what's fucked up. It's just like, are we going to overcome them, or are they going to continually just have us in a state of like low grade war and famine? Which is crazy. But how's England? Like, by comparison, like, it's better. Are people wilding out there? Or are people like, because it seemed at times like the UK was on some dumb shit too.
So when the last election, when people voted for Boris Johnson after everything that he's done and stands for over Jeremy Corbyn, and I completely get that some people didn't like Jeremy Corbyn and he didn't go about things the right way with the whole anti-Semitism stuff. He didn't talk out about it, which he should have done because it was a serious problem. And he didn't play the game with the press. And I do understand why people didn't like him, but to choose Boris over him, I just thought, I don't think we'll ever get to a point in this country where people will put us as a collective over their individual, because I've got friends of mine who are sensible people, but they prioritise their own income over the greater good for everyone. And I just think, well, I think everyone's just become so selfish and just so self-obsessed. And like with this whole COVID stuff, like, I understand the business. Like, my main job's with a DJ agency. We've not worked since last March because obviously there's been no gigs.
Yeah. But
people need to be okay. If everyone dies or half the population dies, then no one's going to be around to go to the gigs anyway. But I understand if people don't get paid, they don't go to work. So they're going to go to work because otherwise they can't feed their family. But it's like, it shouldn't be like that. Like, there should be kind of blanket covering everyone, you know. So I understand people acting selfishly in those circumstances, but it's just so fucked up. Like, the whole thing's so fucked up. Like, they've spent all this money on the test and trace, track and trace thing or whatever. Signing wherever you go, and no one does it. It's a complete waste of money. And you know, they're not giving the nurses the pay rise they were supposed to get. They would put their lives on the line for the, you know, it's that. And but people vote for it. And I don't know. I don't listen to the news because it just upsets me, and I just
I mean, definitely these two nations could have afforded to pay everyone to just stay home. Like, that's ultimately what I will always take away from this, is that like, if like anyone really gave a fuck, or if the capitalist like system was capable of giving a fuck like that people were dying at this level, like it's they certainly didn't. Like, and so that's just like, I'm kind of a mindset of, I'm like survival mode, to where I'm just like, okay, like no one's looking out. And you know, I think kids see through bullshit too, and like, it'll be interesting to see where the generation that is like young and about to start voting takes it from here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there couldn't be a more clear example of just like, no one cares if we die.
Yeah.
Like really, really no one cares if we die. Like, so figure out how to stay alive because no one cares if you die.
And it was all the low grade jobs. They could still go to work. And yeah. You know, it's like people didn't care about them. If you've got the luxury, I mean, I work from home anyway, so it didn't make any difference to me.
Yeah.
But people weren't that lucky. Like people still had to work.
Yeah. My sister-in-law works in healthcare and has had to go in like this entire time and like got her vaccine. And now like the state's trying to close down her hospital. Like, and like shit like that, where it's just like, and now as they reopen.
Pandemic.
Yeah. In the middle of a pandemic, trying to like close down like the hospital of last resort in our state, where like only the patients who like can't afford anything or on like lifelong ventilators and shit get sent. So that's like a whole legal battle going on in the state now as they reopen businesses, reopen beaches, restaurants and shit. And like you see all these people flooding out to go, or you know, like, I mean, the distinction to me, like that was some like, you know, riot in the street shit. When you are seeing like poor people who are being forced to go in to wait on people, rich people who are sitting there like eating with no masks on shit, like indoors. And like, you know, or just like the crazy like privilege that is just rearing its head. And because it like, there's obviously a direct line between like these white supremacist lunatics and the people who won't wear masks. Like they're pretty much the same people.
Yeah.
And like the reason is like they really feel like they're genetically superior and entitled to everything.
Yeah.
And they don't have empathy. Like they don't possess it. Like, so what the fuck do we do with them? You know, like, and I mean, we'll see what happens. Like, there's a lot of rage for sure. That's not, I mean, in America, it's weird because Joe Biden was elected. So like, it seems like Jeremy Corbyn was like your Bernie Sanders and it kind of came down to like Bernie Sanders versus Trump, which like a lot of people on the left wanted to happen here, myself included. Like Bernie Sanders is the guy who's probably more politically aligned with me. That was like, you know, universal healthcare. Like now's the time to do this.
Yeah.
And so just like, and it really, like I was saying, seems like moneyed interests sort of like steer that away. And so now we just have this like the vaccine's being handled effectively, but it's far from utopia. And like, there's still, it'd be interesting to see what happens. There'd be a segment of like rich white liberals who will try to like go back to sleep like they do when there's a Democrat president. There's a lot of like poor angry people that are, I don't think, gonna ignore what Joe Biden does day to day, especially if the fucking COVID can't be contained. So see what the fuck happens. Pandemic living continues.
Then I don't really understand, like, the whole world needs to come together on it, doesn't it? Because if every country isn't kind of acting responsibly with it, then it's just going to keep spreading, isn't it?
Yeah, variants.
So the whole thing's a bit.
Yeah.
I don't really get it anyway. Like with the whole vaccine here, like England are doing really well with the vaccine. I've been vaccinated.
Yeah. Good. Congrats.
Thanks. But it needs to be like that across the whole. Everyone kind of needs to be on the same page, don't they? Really, because otherwise, it's just going to kind of keep.
Yeah. The herd. Fitting the herd, which is. You know, I think that's the scary part, is that ultimately, like, people with mega money and concentrated wealth, confronted with global warming and population and all that shit, are probably looking at the total number of humans alive and just being like, well, we could stand to lose a few million. and watching that get carried out. And it doesn't seem like an accident that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't ever consider it an accident when the shit rich, powerful people want is happening.
Yeah. Like,
low key.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I hear that. I do think it is, because it's the poor people that are dying with COVID. It's not that it's not the rich people, it's the poor people dying.
And that's like everyone in you know, America will have it, and like doctors still can't get it in Africa, South America, like, you know, like global vaccine distribution is like skewed way heavily toward, you know, richer, whiter nations, like, and privately owned patents on all that shit. Or like how should that not be a human right? The patent to the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
So shit like that continues. But yeah. We're relaunching the nomore.org website, so I'm about to start digging up dirt on corporations again soon.
Good. Oh good, I'm glad about that.
Yeah. That's another thing we've been doing, low-key, that I'll probably be announcing like next month.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, let me know and I'll share everything.
Yeah, we'll do.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go because it's 10:30 and I really don't think that they're asleep. So I need to go and shout at them. All right.
I'll see you.
Today, and I'll see you soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was nice, wasn't it? So I hope you enjoyed that and I hope it made your egg eating even more pleasant. I, at this point in time, am intending not to eat any Easter eggs tomorrow because I'm not supposed to be having sugar for a little while because I've been saying I'm going to do it for the last 5 years and I still haven't. So I thought now would be a really good time when I've got 17,000 Easter eggs in the house because I like giving myself challenges. But yeah, thank you for listening. Please subscribe. Please share this episode. If you want to talk about any of the points we made, please get in touch. If there's anyone you'd like to me to get on the podcast, then please let me know as well. That'd be really good. I've got about 12 episodes in the bag so far. I've spoken to some really amazing people, so I've got some really good stuff lined up for you, and I hope you enjoy it. But tell me, talk to me. Talk to me. I've just been interrupted by my youngest daughter Juno for the 700th time when I've been trying to record these things, who's now dancing, and all she wants to do is plug in her iPad because that's all kids want to do. Unplug your iPad. All right, well, have a lovely Sunday. Happy Easter. Eat your Easter eggs.
Yummy.
Yummy. And enjoy B. Dunham. Track him down. Find him. He's everywhere. He's like the god of Minecraft and rapping. And I'm very sorry. My daughter's just whacked my mic on the floor.
Work.
Oh, I need a holiday.
Okay. Work.
See you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.